Opening today at Pica is Roberta Joy Rich's exhibition, The Purple Shall Govern. It takes inspiration from a remarkable day in South African apartheid history when the people and streets at a 1989 Cape Town protest were painted purple. The title comes from a slogan that was graffitied across Cape Town following that protest. Roberta Joy Rich is with us now to share how this unusual event inspired her work and its connections to Australian colonial history. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. What drew you to this event as the basis for the exhibition?
Well, the Purple Rain protest that happened in Cape Town in 1989. When I first discovered this moment, I just became obsessed with the kind of poetry that exists within it and its very significant, I guess, kind of symbol of resistance that's embedded within it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a diaspora, Southern African, brown and black woman, and I was raised in so-called Australia, in Nam, but both of my parents migrated at different times from South Africa, and particularly my father, because of the apartheid system that was happening there. And so I've always been really interested in resistance histories and black resistance histories. And so learning about this protest, but also more about the colonial histories of South Africa and Australia, there is just so much in common,
mm-hmm.
and so many connections within colonial law that I hope this exhibition can help platform some of these much needed conversations that we can have.
How does your work reveal the connections? Can you explain to me some more?
Sure. Well, The Purple Shall Govern at Large is a mass installation work that engages with a light installation, there's sound and video materials, as well as archives, or I sometimes use the term anarchiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I've introduced stories from my family, public broadcast materials or archival broadcast materials. And the works essentially are reframings, or rather remixes, of these archives in a way that centres and platforms black voices to allow us to think more about, I guess, the role of media within receiving information, especially in the time that we're experiencing right now. But essentially the viewer will come into this gallery space at Pica and be bathed within purple light, and will be able to move freely through the space and come across various archives and various artworks that delve into these previous borders and laws that essentially oppress and regulate the ways in which brown and black bodies access or enter into public space. A big part of the work for me was wanting to, like, drawing so much inspiration from this protest, but also wanting to try and recreate this moment of everybody being purple.
Mm.
And I think for me, the reason why being purple at this protest in South Africa is so significant, because for those who may be aware of apartheid, but those who don't, apartheid is an Afrikaans word for separateness or apartness, and literally had laws where you could not marry someone of mm-hmm. a different race classification, of what the National Party created, these race categorizations that really are so ridiculous on what they're founded on, but how you could access education, what people were allowed to study or go where, even entering public space, black people had to carry a permit on them. And I mean, these are all things that also very much existed in nation state Australia well before implemented in South Africa's mm-hmm. apartheid. But in this purple moment, when a protester manages to climb onto a police water cannon and the police were trying to spray people with purple dye so they knew who to arrest at this anti-apartheid protest. But in this chaotic moment, the protester manages to get control of the cannon and sprays the apartheid headquarter building purple, and everybody purple in this moment of paint flying everywhere. And so that moment, it didn't matter if you were black, coloured, Indian, Cape Malay, all these terms that they constructed, everybody was purple in this moment. And I just have thought about this for years and really wanted to make an installation work that is inspired by this, but also can hopefully be a catalyst for critically thinking about the ways in which we occupy public and space.
I was just reflecting, Roberta, thinking about the... I remember that time and being at university and the connections between Australia and South Africa in the anti-apartheid movement. But it's pre-internet, and the images that we had access to were very almost flat, static in lots of ways. And it was print and it was television news really briefly when it was played. So I would love to be immersed in this space because I guess it's almost a generation ago now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, some of the younger folk where I work in education, when I asked, have you heard of apartheid, a lot of younger folk don't know about it or what it is. And even as you were saying, you're remembering the moment at that time, because of the strict censorship laws that the governments had at the time, they obviously didn't want people to kind of know about this or know about the mass gathering and cry for freedom. So there's footage that is shown within the screen space as part of the exhibition, which is the only surviving video footage from the day of when it happened. And it, yeah, I mean, it shows within it, but there's also articles that kind of help contextualize the moment, but 52 journalists were arrested on that day. So it kind of just goes to show how much censorship or how much they were trying to contain a situation that clearly no one in the country wanted. And up until this moment of 89, people were tired, people had been fighting, people were sick of what had been happening in the country. And that was the last protest where there was police, I guess, artillery and violence on site as well.
And so your direct connection, Roberta, is your family moved from there and that's why you grew up in Nam?
Yes. So my father actually left in 1968, which was when white Australia policy here was loosening a bit and allowing non-Europeans to come in to this place for work. And so... Yes. So an apartheid system of segregations and such that's happening here, I guess, was loosening while in South Africa things were tightening in 68. Group Areas Act was very much coming into play, where the area where my father was born, adjacent to it, was now declared a white area. So a lot of people who were classed as Cape Coloureds, to use the derogatory term, like my family were classed, had to move on and such. And the legacies of this obviously still are very present today. But so my father actually started his migration journey in Borloo and eventually made his way to Nam and then ended up going regional. And it wouldn't be till much later that my mother, not leaving for political reasons, but out of love, they actually met, strangely, in nation state Australia, and she chose to come over here to be with my father, and hence my birth on Wathaurong country in Geelong. So for me, growing up, it was very obvious that through peer reception and I guess the racisms that I experienced, we were different to the context that we were in. But my parents also sheltered me from the trauma and the histories of South Africa. I mean, we knew that we were South African, but as a young person, I didn't really know what it meant. And so in some ways, the irony of that kind of protection away from it, the older I became, the more interested I was in history and family and why is it that we aren't in South Africa and that mm-hmm. we're here. And learning more and more about First Nations histories and the colonial laws of this place, it just was so uncanny and obvious to me, the connections between both places. And, yeah, a lot of artists when I was in art school that I drew inspiration from were First Nations artists having these conversations around identity, around, I guess, land and around a lot of concepts that, Southern Africans are navigating as well. And so for me and within my arts practice, yeah, it just felt like a really pertinent but also obvious connection, but something I also connect with quite deeply in having the privilege to be an uninvited guest on Stolen Country and, you know, thinking about, well, how did I come to be here? And, yeah, drawing those parallels.
Well, thanks so much for chatting with us this morning, Roberta. Can't wait to see The Purple Shall Govern.
Cheers. Thank you very much, Danae.
Roberta Joy Rich. The Purple Shall Govern is at PICA, the Perth Institute of Contemporary Arts.